Good morning, Albuquerque. Welcome back to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. I am your host, Sean Boccaccini, my co-host, Vincent Trujillo. High five.
High five. Good morning. Every Saturday.
Every Saturday. How was your week, sir?
Awesome week. Love it. Love it.
We're having a good time. We're actually doing some live streaming on Facebook now. So, hey, everybody that's watching, thank you for your support of Go Local Boom. Tell your friends they can come get on air online. We want you to know that Go Local Boom is sponsored by Rocketbox SEO. Rocketbox will launch your business into the next dimension with online marketing, search engine optimization, and beautiful web design. Give them a call if you need some help, 505-453-9595. Our first guest this morning is one of our favorite businesses in the community because he has experienced the benefit of all of these resources. Gilbert Lovato, owner at K-Ram Roofing. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very well. Thanks so much. How's your wife, Karen?
She's doing fine.
She is an awesome individual.
Don't tell her that, or then she'll take it out on me.
I'll keep that in mind next time I'm in the office. But until then, tell everybody how they can reach you guys and what is it that K-Ram does.
Yeah, K-Ram is a local roofing business. We've been in business for 37 years.
37 years.
Yeah, and you can give us a call at 345-ROOF or 345-7663. I always like to put the number in there because a lot of people don't know how to spell roof.
Well, you guys got to choose your phone number back in the day when you could still write the phone number that you wanted. They don't let you do that anymore.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. We hung on to that for and guess what? I got to give that credit to Karen. So
yeah,
that was all her idea.
She's pretty cool, man. Okay, so what is your forte? What do you guys specialize in?
You know, we used to do all kinds of roofing, and we still do. We do commercial and both commercial and we also do residential, but. We basically try to focus on residential now, but we have so many people that know that we do the commercial end, so we get a lot of calls on the commercial end.
Well, and I hate to kind of be negative to kick off the interview, but there are a lot of other commercial contractors out there that don't do the best job, and you guys, and most of the jobs you get on that end, you're cleaning up somebody else's mess, right?
Pretty much, you know, and matter of fact, this weekend, you know, this last week we just got through looking at some roofs that some other contractors have done that we're going to have to redo, and people, you know, were sold a roof that was supposed to last them a lifetime, and now they've only gotten 6 years out of it.
Yeah, we run into a lot of people that paid somebody to design a website for them that they swore was going to do everything they needed it to do and look the way they wanted it to look, and a year or two later, they've got to hire somebody else to do another job for them because, unfortunately, that vendor talked them out of their money and didn't really deliver what they needed, you know?
So yeah, absolutely.
It happens. So I'm glad that they have you here as a resource. Been in business for almost 40 years now, family owned and operated. You guys have a really strong team and we love you. That's why we reached out to you. You guys are in the same building over there on Arno as our friends at Screen Images.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The same area.
That's how we got connected because I love Sandy over there. They do a great job for us. And she's just really active in the nonprofit community and so on.
Oh, yeah.
So
absolutely.
Tell us about some of that stuff that you guys have going on at K-Ram.
Well, you know, I started K-Ram back in 1977.
How did you get into roofing?
And actually got into roofing with an idea from a brother-in-law. We were actually a construction company, and we had other roofers do our roofing for us. And they weren't, again, you know, we ran into this problem where the local roofers weren't delivering.
Your name is on the job.
Yeah. And my brother-in-law said, "Why don't we just start a roofing company?" And it was his idea, and we actually took off with that. And when that turned out to be a bigger service provider for the community than our construction company was, we still do a little bit of construction, but not much.
That's pretty cool. So how long had you guys been doing what you were doing before you decided to kind of take that other direction?
Well, from 1977, we started probably roofing. On a consistent basis, we started roofing probably like in 1984 to 88. We started doing it really heavy. So,
and you guys clearly had a solid brand because you were able to sustain through the downturn when it came to the construction industry.
As a matter of fact, that was a big choice for us back in 2008. So we had to make a choice of what we were going to do, and we decided to stay with the roofing where it was a service type of service for the community. And we're glad that we made that choice.
So, yeah, you know, you've seen several downturns in the economy. I mean, but this last one was the biggest, you think?
Yeah, you know, when you say several, I'm glad that you bring that up because in 1981, you know, the Jimmy Carter years when interest rates were 23%, it really killed me. And I was a single guy then. I wasn't married to Karen at the time. You know, and Karen and I go all the way back to junior high school. So it was a real shocker for me, you know, to live through those days where I was a real young guy, and I was, you know, had a lot of equipment and didn't know how I was going to pay for it. As a matter of fact, the parking structure for this building here, George Rutherford, who owned it at the time, was promising me that that job at that time. So it was pretty tough back in the in those days in the 81. So
I've seen
it happen twice.
Four or five economic cycles, right?
Well, those and downs. You know, the 2008 and the 81 was probably the hardest.
So, yeah, 81, interest rates. People don't remember that. When interest rates were in the double digits, I mean, you were paying, you know, high interest, what we considered a high interest rate credit card on standard loans. Low interest rate business loans, quote unquote, were in the 20s, you know, and you're having to pay on machinery and all this other stuff in the 20s, and people can't even imagine how did a business even make it at all during that time, you know?
Yeah, you can't do construction if you're paying 23% interest loans.
It's interesting to me how many people, successful business people today that I know that that survived those times and their career turned, but kind of became successful as a result of that. Vince and I were both in the housing industry at that time. Vince was a loan officer and I was a loan originator. So I've always been in sales. My job was to go out and find people that wanted to buy homes and essentially, you know, introduce them to the mortgage broker. And, my aunt was sending me referrals at the time and the market crashed and she said, sorry, dude, I can't help you out anymore. I've been doing this. This is my career. I've been doing it for a long time. If the people that I've had relationships with for this long knew that I was sending leads to somebody else, even if it's family, then that would really negatively impact my relationship. So I'm sorry. I can't send you leads anymore. You know, I started a cleaning company as a result of the fact that I could no longer do loan originations. There was no money in that market, but all of the realtors that I knew needed to save some money on their curb appeal property cleanups. Yep. And so that's the, for the next almost 8 years I was in the cleaning industry.
Yeah. Good for you. You know, you were able to, you know, bounce off of one thing that was actually related to what you were doing.
Right.
And the same thing with the roofing, where we were actually already in the roofing business. So it wasn't something that we were going to have to, you know, kick up. We just continued to enforce it and enhance it some more. And of course, you know, I still get calls. People still call me. I do TI, you know, improvements and stuff like that for friends of mine and clients that I've done in the past. So that kind of, it kind of works in a hand and glove kind of type of thing. So, but, roofing is basically our meat and potatoes.
Well, approximately, how many roofing jobs do you do a year? Do you know that? Or?
Oh, God, I knew you were going to ask me that. on the average, we do about maybe anywhere from 6 to 8 roofing jobs a week. So
You go. Okay, so that's quite a bit, you know.
So that's a crew of how many people?
We're running, you know, it depends. It depends on the season. Like right now, we're running a little bit lean because there's not that much work out on the streets. But in the summertime, we can run as many as 20 guys.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And every one of them working every day?
Every day. If they're not working, they're not part of K-Ram.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting way of putting that. So you have a lot of guys. I mean, you have the ability. You have probably a core staff. Then you have some people that you can bring on bring down. And that's the great thing about local business, right? You know, you have to focus on things like that all the time. You have to figure out how to staff up, staff down, you know, and the busier you are, the busier that your employees do. And then it's an effect. It's a compounded effect out there. If you're doing well, your employees are doing well, the community is doing well.
Yeah, we get a lot of applications from different companies that, you know, the guys here that we're looking for work, so they want to come work for us. And we try to stay loyal to the guys that have been with us for many, many years. So so we enforce, you know, that policy of K-RAM. So we try to keep the guys that have been with us for the longest. We try to keep them on staff for, you know, permanent time. So
you guys have done a really good job over the years of being a family team, right? Each person focusing on their strengths. Karen manages the office. You manage the field. And your son actually manages online and social media, and he does a lot for you.
Sure.
I assume that it's something that you guys weren't doing, and he said, here, let me do this for you because it's important for the business. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, and Cody's pretty much an IT guy. You know, he
doesn't even live here anymore.
No, he lives in Kansas. He actually works for Verizon. I'm not so sure I'm so happy about him because he moved my grandkids to Kansas. You know,
we'll make sure he hears the interview.
There you go. But no, he's definitely an asset to the company. So
yeah, you guys have done a great job of all of that. So tell us, how important do you feel online marketing has been for your business over the years?
You know, I really don't know that much about that. I'm an old guy, you know, so I didn't know how important it was, but I began to realize that it is very important.
You're getting a lot of feedback from your friends and family, right?
Correct. And, you know, meeting up with you guys was probably a godsend because you guys have been very, you know, open, you know, on the table about what's going on, and we've seen results. Yeah. You know, that's the thing about any business. You need to see results.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't see results and you're not honest to your customers, you know, those two things right there, honesty and results, is what's made us been in business for 37 years.
Indeed.
And if you can't have that kind of moral belief or core, you're not gonna get anywhere. So getting back to the question of you, asking me about how important social media and all this kind of stuff is, it's very important. That's mm-hmm. today's market.
And you've reported to me that you guys get a lot of feedback from your friends and family and your clients that, you know, that it's important for them, and they know that there are some things that you guys have done that have really helped. I wanted to mention that you guys are Angie's List Award winners, that you're very active in the community. Your brand integrity and your reputation as a result of the work that you do has been solid for quite some time. So we really appreciate your success and your support of our community. And we really appreciate you coming in to tell us about it. You've had your own radio show, and that was another, you know, so we can talk about how online and on air has really benefited your business over the years, but we don't have much time, so let's make sure that we get your contact in there, contact information in here one more time.
Yeah, give us a call at KRAM Roofing at 345-7663 or 345-ROOF, or come look at our website at www.kramroofing.com.
Thanks, folks. You're listening to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. Coming right up, one of the best breakfast restaurants in town is going to be on here to tell us about all the cool stuff they're doing in our community. Welcome back once again to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. Man, our producer is doing a great job with the music this morning.
It's a bang-up job today.
My co-host, Vincent Trujillo, how you doing again, sir?
I'm doing awesome. I'm better now that we lead with Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah, exactly. I hope everybody that's listening is just uplifted, drinking coffee, enjoying their morning, because we're talking about breakfast. And our next guest is Iz Rivera from The Shop. Israel, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great now that I heard some Stevie Ray.
Yeah. Tell us the name of your business and the location, because it's kind of tricky if you don't know how to find it.
Okay, so we are called The Shop Breakfast and Lunch, and we are located in the Triangle on where Girard Central and Monta Vista meet. So we are directly east of the university. We are behind that Taco Bell on the corner, and we are in the Triangle parking lot in the little shopping center.
Mm-hmm. So next to the new brewery that went in there, it used to be Bailey's on the Beach, yeah. Right? And before that, what was their Rival Tattoo? There's been a lot of really cool businesses.
Actually, it was a pizzeria.
There's a pizzeria there.
Amore, yeah.
Amore Pizzeria, right?
Pizza, yeah.
So there's been a lot of really cool businesses in that little spot, and I wonder if, because it's such a little hidden gem, if that's the reason some of them don't survive. But man, you guys are going strong for a while now. Congratulations.
Yeah, it's been almost 3 years now, and we have one of the longest like standing records of a restaurant there.
Yeah.
There's like a couple businesses that have been there forever. There's like a sign shop and a trophy shop, but yeah, we've been pushing along, and one of the landlords there calls it the Bermuda Triangle because everything that goes in there gets lost.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we try really hard to work with our neighbors and stuff to bring people to the Triangle. Like, we want people to go in there. Cause like I said, there's that sign shop. There's about to be a tattoo shop that's opening up above us.
Yeah. HB Construction just built their new facilities there. So, I mean, that's a great source of walk-ins for breakfast and lunch for you guys, because they're always going to have clients going through. They've got a large team and a staff. So that's probably going to assist to help you guys out a little bit too.
Yeah. It's nice. Cause I think with all the art stuff going on Central, it's pushing people away from Central. Like, we've gotten a whole lot of people in within the last couple of weeks that usually go to places on Central, and they're like, we're not dealing with Central right now, so we're going to come in here.
And for those of you that don't know, when he says art, he means the Albuquerque Rapid Transit program that's going on. They've got Central all busted up, and Knob Hill business owners and Central business owners are really being affected and impacted, not in the most positive way. But this is one of those stories where it just so happens that this has positively impacted you.
Yeah, I mean, it's working out for us, but at the same time, like it sucks for those guys. Like, yeah. I have friends who own businesses on Central, and they're like, yeah, man, it's killing us. But,
you know, I want to bring that up actually as part of the interview a little bit about that, the feedback that you're getting from that. First, I want to let our listeners, know what kind of food do you have? I mean, before we get into politics of the art and the business and how it's driving business in different areas,
yeah.
Exactly what kind of food is it? Sean and I love your place. We could eat there, you know, we record these shows on Mondays, and Mondays is our breakfast meetings day. And you happen to be closed on Mondays.
The only day that he's closed.
So any other day of the week, you got to go to the shop right there by the university off of Girard and to try it. But the breakfasts are great. Give us an idea about the menu and some of the reasoning behind your menu.
So the easiest way I can describe our food is traditional American with like Latin and Southern influences. So we do we do a dish that's called the Americana, and it's basically just meat, potatoes, eggs, and toast, butter and jam, all of it made there in-house. So we do things like that. We do like a buttermilk pancakes. We do French toast, classic stuff like that. But then we also have like things that are a little different. Like I do a duck hash, which is duck confit, potatoes, local veggies, whatever we happen to have, and with some red chili and eggs on top. So things most people don't get other places. It basically, the idea for the menu started out as, what do I want to eat for breakfast? Like, what do I want to go out and eat that I can't eat anywhere else? And that's literally how we built the menu from the ground up.
Yeah. So don't worry about it, right? You go there, you have something interesting and something that's a little bit more traditional every time.
No matter what kind of cuisine you like, right? If you're looking for pancakes, some of the best pancakes in town. If you're looking for red chili, green chili, they've got that too. Just eggs and bacon. Everything is good. And then their lunch menu is really strong too. Their sandwiches will put you to sleep.
Yeah, tell us about your lunch menu a little bit. I love the breakfast. I could eat breakfast 3 or 4 times a day.
Yeah.
Lunch, what do you got for lunch?
Breakfast is one of those things where we serve it all day too, so if you want it whatever time it is, that's fine. But our lunch menu is a little smaller, and it's simple, but we always have at least like 3 salads on the menu, and it's literally whatever's in season. That's what we'll use for our salads. So we'll do different salads here and there. And then we have a few sandwiches that we put on the menu. The favorite one I like to tell everybody about is a Cubano. So it's like a roasted pork shoulder that's, it's been brined in a Chipotle citrus brine. And then, so it has pulled pork, ham, Gruyere cheese, house-made pickles, mustard and garlic aioli, and it's pressed in like a hot sandwich press, and it's like one of the best things.
Okay, I defy anyone who's listening here at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning not to want to run down to the shop now after he said Chipotle.
Yep.
What?
So it's a Chipotle citrus brine.
So you have pork shoulder and a Chipotle citrus brine.
Yeah, and then we roast it for like 6 hours until it's like falling apart.
Yeah, I bet you. I want you to track on Saturdays about 10:30 through like noon how many people say they come in. Anyone who goes in from hearing this radio station this morning, let him know when at the shop Saturday morning when you go to eat at his shop around 11 or 12 that you heard him on Go Local Boom.
You got me hungry because of this radio.
Yeah, people come in from that.
They've got great coffees too. Only local roasters,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, so we get our coffee from a place called Iconic in Santa Fe, and they take their coffee game really seriously.
Yeah, they do.
Is like, I was never a coffee snob until I started having their coffee, and now I'll go with a headache all day until I can get good coffees.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they've done to me. But and you know, they are. It's called direct source coffee, so it's not fair trade or anything like that, because fair trade, they have a bunch of weird rules you have to follow, but these guys buy it directly from farmers, and it benefits the farmers, and it benefits them like way better than any other organization, because the farmers get the most money, and these guys get the best beans. So it is direct trade, direct from single family owned coffee farms
over. You know, this is why we love talking to local people who are foodies or involved in the food business. They take, you know, you're obviously a chef in your own place, and you take your own food very seriously, but you also enjoy when other people take their food and drink or their game very seriously too with whatever they have to do, right?
Well, and these are things that most people kind of take for granted. Yeah. You don't realize we've said many times, I don't want to live in a community where I'm only going to be able to get big box, you know, products and these brands and so on and so forth. Although they can be good, man, I tell you, you put a homemade breakfast burrito from Blake's Lauterburger up against a McDonald's breakfast burrito, and dude, Blake's wins every time.
Yeah, every
the
time.
Portion, the quality of the ingredients, the experience in itself, it's better. And so, yeah, when you can say, yeah, I can brew a pot of coffee at home. I can buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks, or I can get an iconic roast from the shop. Dude, your Mexican mocha, I dream about that coffee.
it's pretty awesome.
They do this crazy thing. I've never seen it before.
People would like to hear it.
Explain how the drink is made.
Okay, so we start off by making... it's like a chocolate syrup. So we use like organic cocoa powder, organic cane sugar. We put a couple like Mexican cinnamon sticks in there and we like make a sauce out of it. And what we do is we'll take some of that. We'll take a couple shots of espresso of iconic coffee and then we'll put steamed milk in it. So it's like a mocha that's a little bit of spice. And then we top it with a red chili oil. And like
it's oil. It's not just the powder, because you get a spiced coffee from somewhere else. This is some cinnamon on top, right. Maybe a little chili powder, right? A little bit of a hint. You make the chili oil.
Yeah,
too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So it sounds a little weird to put like a chili oil on top of coffee, but it gives the whole thing like this super velvety texture.
Yep.
And you get a little spice, a little hint of like that extra flavor with every drink. Like it's not one of those things that you're going to drink all the oil at once. Like it'll sit on the top and it'll last the whole cup.
And it's so appropriate in New Mexico. I mean, we're at a place where we love our spice. We love red or green, whatever. Now you can have it in a delicious homemade. I mean, forget Starbucks, dude. I don't remember the last time I actually pulled through a Starbucks other than emergency, like traveling or something, and I can't find coffee anywhere. You will never go to another Starbucks again. I challenge anyone out there, unless you just got to have that Froppo Mappuccino thing that they just, it's just a bunch of sugar they dump in.
Yeah, they don't know. That's the thing is, you don't know. Like he said, he's a coffee snob now because he knows. Before, you don't know. You think that's pretty great.
And I know people who are like, I just love the Froppo Mappa thing that they, whatever their terms that they're putting in. It's just a bunch of sugar dumped in a cup. I challenge anyone, go have some good local coffee. Go to the shop, have a Mexican latte, go to a couple of the other places around here that we really support, like The Brew.
Yeah.
They have their own beans that they bring up from Colombia. We support anyone who does that because the quality is just exponentially higher. You eat at the shop, you can't go to some of these cheap
and enjoy it. It'll ruin you.
Yeah. You can't.
Ruined me.
Yeah. It's not about being snobby. Forget the Go Local Boom thing is where we really are like, hey, just find a local place and support it. It's because local places, like the shop, actually take care and pay attention more to what they're doing. I mean, you're asking this guy about how he does his food and his coffee. I mean, I'm like starving right now. I want to go eat and drink that coffee, right? You know, and you find what the ingredients are with something from like the shop versus Starbucks. I'm sorry, or like a Denny's or somewhere else. The ingredients are going to be different. The quality is going to be different. And that's why there's foodies, because once you start going down that path, you can't go back.
Right.
It's not being snobby. You just go and compare the two dishes blindfolded. And one is infinitely better than the other one.
You know, I tell you all the time, we do breakfast a lot because to start off our day, we'll do a planning meeting and we've got to eat. And I'm like, dude, I want a good breakfast. I'll either just cook my own or go somewhere where I know that I can get something that's filling, something that tastes good. And, you know, I'm sure that people that work at these franchise chains, they have a good work ethic. They enjoy what they do and so on. But you can just taste the difference, you know, in a local quality product, because it's just not prepackaged and boxed and processed.
The thing, too, for us is that it's like with those big chains, it's all about the dollar. Like you want, obviously they want to put out something that people are going to want to come and pay for, but
they
their bottom line is to make a lot of money. And obviously for us, like the reason I opened a business is to be my own boss and to make money. And you know, I make enough money to pay the bills or this, that, or whatever. But when you got a guy who loves coffee starting a coffee business, like he's going to be passionate about the coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you got somebody who's passionate about food opening a restaurant, they're going to put their love and passion into the food. And if they're making money while they're doing it, then all the pieces start to come together.
Mm-hmm.
And we just got to get people out there who want to break away from those chains to come try us out.
And it's not, you know, it's not charity work here when you go and support local business. You'll be surprised how much better the food quality is and your experience is going to be. Now on that level, let's go back to the food a little bit. Give me a couple of your favorite dishes at your restaurant. And then we're just talking now. You're off. You're closed on Mondays. You always want to eat at other people's places. Give us a couple of dishes that you like around the community to kind of start wrapping it up. But I want to hear your favorite dishes at your place that we have already
mentioned. Oh, this is a great question.
I want you to give me a couple of favorite dishes at another location.
Okay, so my favorite dish at my restaurant is called chilaquiles. So chilaquiles is a super traditional Mexican dish. You make it by using old stale leftover tortillas, cook them down in some sort of sauce with chicken. That's how it's traditionally made. We do tortilla chips that we make in house. We cook it down in red chili and using the same pork that we use in the Cubano. So that citrus, chipotle brine pork. It's on a bed of black beans with avocado, house pickled onions, queso fresco, and eggs on top. And it's this huge, like, ridiculous breakfast.
My second favorite dish there. And they didn't have it when I first started eating there, but I go so often that, you know, but yeah, dude, it's
so that's delicious. That's the favorite thing there. As far as other businesses, so there's a food truck called My Sweet Basil. It is the best food truck I've ever been to. Anywhere in the country. Like, and it's here, it's local, they hang out everywhere, they're awesome. It's my favorite restaurant there. And then there's another place, it's called Pollito con Papas. It's a Peruvian chicken joint, and they do rotisserie chicken, and it is the best chicken I've ever
had. Are those both food trucks?
No, the Pollito con Papas is a brick and mortar restaurant. It's on Gibson, I think. Look them up, you'll not be
disappointed. Oh, we're going to get them, both of them in here on the show.
So both of those are my two favorite restaurants. And Magacoro, real quick, Magacoro on Manal. They do ramen and stuff like that.
You know, I was just there last week. I think it's some of the best noodles I've tasted. Yeah. I get their pork broth one, which is, and they have spicy and non-spicy. Try them both, but you get a little hot sauce on the side. It's great. I appreciate you actually mentioning all these other restaurants. All of them are local. You're getting actual local recommendations for food from a foodie and restaurant and business owner himself and chef with some of the great dishes he has at his local place too. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Give us your contact one more time.
Okay, so it's The Shop Breakfast and Lunch. You can find us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram at The Shop Breakfast and Lunch. I always post my specials there, so follow us there. It's the best way to keep in touch with what we're doing.
Israel Vera, The Shop for Breakfast and Lunch. Coming up on our next segment, you'll hear about an awesome social movement for random acts of kindness. You're listening to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. Go Local Boom is live with Nirvana on 1050 KTVL. Can we make a play request, Mike? We're talking to our producer now. He always leads in with some awesome music. Sometimes it's some Paula Abdul or Janet Jackson, and I'm not always in the mood for that. But this day has been the best day so far in terms of music in the booth. Good morning, Vincent. Again, how are you?
Great, man. Enjoying the music, enjoying the shows, food, roofing. And upcoming, we got some great kindness stuff, but it's been a great Saturday so far.
It's been a lot of fun so far. I'm loving it. I always enjoy the show, but the energy in the booth has been really good today. So hopefully the people that are listening can feel that as well. They're going to go get some pancakes and chilaquiles at the shop, have a Mexican mocha to top it off. And when they're done, they're going to reach out to Mindful Acts to figure out what it is that they do. So Denise, let's give everybody an understanding of who you guys are and what you do.
Okay. My name is Denise Paglia. I am the co-founder of Mindful Kindness. And what we do is we have developed a necklace that is has been created by a woman named Kim Young at the Acoma Laguna Pueblo. And the necklaces are hand-painted, they're hand-numbered, they're hand-everything. And there's a website listed on the back along with a unique number for each necklace. The idea.
Wow, so you guys are using a local artisan to create necklaces that are then being kind of spread throughout the world, right?
We are. In fact, it's the same artist that painted all of the pottery along Central Avenue and over at the Sunport Airport.
It looks very familiar. Yeah. When I look at your necklace, there does have an element of familiarity to it. They're beautiful designs. Okay, so tell us, why would somebody buy a necklace, and then what do they do with it once they have one?
Okay, they buy a necklace just to, they can either keep it for themselves or they can give it away. Either way, the idea is to wear one. You look around for acts of kindness when you're wearing it, and as you're looking around for acts of kindness, you're actually, in a sense, becoming kinder yourself.
Agreed.
So when you see an act of kindness that you find particularly touching, then you would take your own necklace off and hand it to that person.
And explain to them what it is.
Exactly.
And I mean,
oh,
I guess the,
yeah, that's great.
The first reason to buy the jewelry is because it's beautiful. You look at it, it's Native American themed. They're handcrafted, and it looks like ceramic, right?
It is clay.
It's almost like Native American pottery.
It actually is.
Yeah.
She actually, she gets the clay, she rolls it out, she cuts it out each one individually.
Oh, wow.
She sands each one individually. She paints them. She numbers each one individually. Nothing on it is done with a machine.
Okay, so tell people how they can find Mindful Kindness if they would like to get involved.
Okay, we're on. We have a website, which is mindfulkindness.org. We're on Facebook, which is Mindful Kindness, Facebook.com, Mindful Kindness 1.
And then you guys are going to be on the Go Local Boom directory as well. So they can find you on GoLocalBoom.com. Just look up kindness.
And for the next 2 Mondays, I'll be at the Mocha Mug from 2 to 5.
Tell us where the Mocha Mug is at.
The Mocha Mug is actually located on San Pedro over at 2325 San Pedro Northeast. It's over by the Coronado Mall, mm-hmm. a couple blocks away, I think.
It's right across the street from Coronado, right on San Pedro. They're a great little local coffee shop. I just had a meeting there last week. And they do a great job. I've met them through, they stay pretty active in the community. And so Mocha Mug, one of the only coffee shops right there on San Pedro, local joint, right?
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Delicious.
So how did you meet those guys?
I haven't met them yet. And actually, Shelly Bruce has been the person that has been helping us with our social media.
Shelly from KSB Productions.
That's right.
She's the marketing genius and the video person behind our Facebook Live videos. But yeah, Shelly's pretty active in the community, so it's great that you have her on your
team. She's our common link. There's a little bit more to the mindful kindness that I haven't explained
yet. Tell us about it.
If I tell you about that?
Yes, please.
So after you wear it and you look for your act of kindness and you give it to that person, then there's a website that each wearer can go to and log a story of kindness.
So each of the necklaces is registered already?
The first person to wear it would be the first person to register it.
Okay.
But they would go on there and they would type their own story of kindness, and then they would pass it along to the next person. So each number would create its own story of kindness. So along the way, as it goes from one person to the next, each person can see that what's happened before, and they can follow it when they pass it along to the next person as well.
That's such a cool concept.
You know, I always love these kind of social experiment or a social activity that involves being mindful and kindness. So you're involving two things, which is pretty important here. One is staying mindful, right?
Looking for acts of kindness,
right,
in your community around you.
And it's so easy to get distracted from that nowadays. We just had a very contentious election. We have a lot of things going on in the world that make us afraid or focus. We have media outlets that are just nothing but continuously based upon trying to point out the negative.
Facebook content, your feed.
I mean, I don't even watch the news, the local news anymore, because all you hear is things that are very bad or horrible going on. What that does is actually it trains our mind to look for those things constantly.
It does.
So we live in a community, in a world where we think everything's going bad. What the mindfulness does, and staying in a state of mindfulness around things that you want to see, like kindness, actually puts people in a state where they're constantly looking for that then, and not only does it get you in a mindset of where you feel like doing kindness, it actually lets you see those possibilities in the around you and then actually put that out into the universe too, correct?
Correct. As I wear mine, I have to keep in mind whether or not I'm being kind enough to be representing my own movement. I have to be careful with when I'm driving down the road that I'm acting in a kind way, and
yeah, road rage.
It really makes me step my game up quite a bit.
Something actually that's really topical right now during this time of year.
Yes, absolutely.
December, you know, I see the people on roads, and I got my girlfriend and I, mindfulness, right, being mindful of kindness. You're thinking, okay, well, that son of a gun just cut me off, didn't use his blinker because they don't exist in New Mexico. We don't have blinkers here. But instead of thinking about that jerk cut me off, you start thinking, you don't know where they're going. Maybe they're on the way because they need to get a gift for a dying relative. They're going to visit someone in the hospital. They're really scared because their kids are home alone because the babysitter didn't make – whatever the thing is.
Yep.
You don't know what their emergency is.
You're absolutely right. We talk about this all the time. I've got some friends that, you know, have just been trained. We've trained ourselves. Humans, I believe, are pretty addicted to suffering, and we focus on negative more. And of course, media is a great example of that. But when I'm always kind of tapping people and say, well, don't say that about yourself, right? Because it's kind of negative programming and reinforcing the negative thinking. But it's because I was super negative at it. There were times in my life when all I could do was road rage or focus on, you know, pessimism. And I found that that makes me sick. It just, nothing works out well when I'm looking at things that way. But when I'm attempting to focus on the positive things, or even in a difficult situation, like when somebody cuts me off or almost runs me off the road, if I can get to, they must be in a hurry and there's a good reason for it, instead of, I should chase them down, you know, my day goes much better. So this is really great that you guys created this. How did you come up with the idea?
It started when I was very young. I had seen some examples of both good and bad.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it started off with examples. The things that really inspired me were things that I saw that were not so good.
Mm-hmm.
Bullying and things that were pointed out that were differences amongst us. And yes, we all have our differences. You know, every single one of us is different from every single one of us. And we can all be afraid of that if we want to be. But then we all have a lot that we have in common as well. And when we boil it down, I personally don't have kids myself, but mm-hmm. I want everybody's kids to grow up and be happy. And I think that's what everybody else's goal is too, is just for us to be safe and happy. And we have more in common than I think we think.
Agreed.
And we know.
So how did you meet the artist that creates these pieces of jewelry?
That was through a mutual friend. And let me back up just one moment, because I'm not the only person that came up with the idea.
Mm-hmm.
The other co-founder is actually my wife, Kathleen Kunda. And so she took my idea and she kind of spun it a little bit. Kathy is the more logical of us. So Kathy had a friend named Marge Baxter that was a mutual friend of ours and the artist, Kim mm-hmm. Young. So Marge heard what our idea was and that we wanted to have a piece of jewelry that represented it. So she facilitated a meeting between us and the artist. And it took place at a restaurant over a handshake, where we decided that, yes, this was how we wanted to move forward. And this is the piece that we wanted to represent our movement.
That's pretty great. Neat.
You know, I love that, because you see all these people and we have, what is it called? I think it's called,
pay it forward.
Social entrepreneurs, is that what it is? Social entrepreneurs? I forgot what it is. When you get gather around a cause and then you create the movement around the cause. But anyways, that's the same as entrepreneurialism, right? You come up with some ideas, you decided that you want to act on it, you come up with a plan and a strategy, and then you implement it. And that's great. Just two people coming up, you and your wife coming up with this idea. Why don't we start, instead of talking about it, why don't we start a mindfulness movement based around kindness, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah. And the artist is just somebody that you actually reached out to because someone knew somebody. But it's great how you came together with the concept that you felt was going to better lives around you and acted on it.
It's more than just the two of us and the artist. It's actually a team that we've created now. It's myself, Kathy. It's actually Shelley Bruce here that's helped us with our social media. We've been working with Val Romero of Women Make a Difference. And we've also been working with our content writer Katie Moxley, she started off as a novice, but she's incredible. So everybody that's gotten on board has gotten on board with
a strength that they bring to the table.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
And obviously a passion for it. It's a wonderful movement.
Exactly.
Yeah. So congratulations. So you guys stay pretty active on social media, I assume, since people have to tell their story online. And do they do that on Facebook or only on the website, or when they do it to the website, does it feed to social media platforms?
They can share it on our website, which I typically do share on our social media site. They can as well. I'm careful not to share people's names because I don't have, I don't want to put anybody mm-hmm. in any kind of danger, but I do like to share the stories that they've created. So, and then they can share on social media as well. We're on Facebook, we're on Instagram, and I believe we have a Twitter account too.
So let me ask you, great idea and background and concept. We're running out of time right here.
They've got a contest coming up. We want to be sure that they talk about.
I actually have, two things that I wanted to mention real quick. And the first one is that we do have a contest on our Mindful Kindness Facebook page, which is Mindful Kindness One. What we're doing is anybody who posts a story of kindness on our Mindful Kindness Facebook page will be entered into a contest to win a Mindful Kindness heart. And we'll send it out, or if it's here local in Albuquerque, I'll meet them over at Mocha Mug and hand it to them that way. But
when does the contest start?
It starts right now. And the person that ends up with the most likes on their story will be the one that wins.
That's phenomenal. And these are beautiful pieces of jewelry. Anybody who's listening, if you check out the website or their Facebook page, you can see these are probably some Christmas presents for people in my family because, you know, they're right in front of us. It's convenient. And I'm a guy. I don't want to have to go search for gifts, right?
How much are they and how do you get them?
Well, they are 25 for one or 5 for 100. And right now we're offering free shipping with a promo code PEACE. That's capital letters PEACE. On the website.
That's beautiful. Shelley just reminded me that because it's that time of year, you can give the gift of kindness. And this is something that that you can re-gift and feel good about, right?
That's right.
Yeah, we can re-gift and feel good about an act of kindness being given for the holidays, man. So why don't you go ahead and we can't lead out until we've got our music and whatnot. So we'll just we'll keep rolling with the interview. So what else do you guys have going on? We talked about the contest. We talked about the brand. Your wife is traveling right now, or she'd be here with us, right? But she's actively involved. She'll be there with you at Mocha Mug.
She may not be back by then, but she's actually out in California right now, and she's working with some people out there.
And tell us again when people can meet you at Mocha Mug.
So I'll be at Mocha Mug for the next two Mondays. So that's that's this upcoming Monday and then the following Monday from 2 to 5 p.m.
Okay, Denise, why don't you tell everybody about how they can reach you again and the name of your company.
Okay. The company name is Mindful Kindness. You can reach us at mindfulkindness.org online, or you can reach us on Facebook, which is facebook.com/mindfulkindness1. Or you can come see me over at Mocha Mug this upcoming Monday and the following Monday after that from 2 to 5 p.m.
Mocha Mug on San Pedro. Mindful Kindness, Denise, thank you so much for what you're doing in our community and for the positivity movement. We hope that it spreads throughout the world. Guys, you're listening to Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL. We'll be right back with your wrap-up. Here we are with Go Local Boom on 1050 KTBL once again and with the Facebook Live video. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for watching us. Vince is the best co-host on the planet. I want to start with Mindful Kindness, man.
Yeah,
so we always do a wrap-up at the end of the show for our last segment. It's a few minutes where we talk about the people that have been on the show, what they're doing in our community, and what we've got going on. And so Denise just came over from Mindful Kindness, and she's telling us about this social movement that is kind of like the pay it forward concept, right? What they have done is they have taken a local craftsman that does Native American pottery, and she takes the clay, she rolls it out, she stamps it, and she paints it into these heart-shaped necklaces. And then these necklaces are distributed on the Mindful Kindness website. And the idea is you buy one, or you buy one for someone as an act of kindness, and they walk around looking for acts of kindness so that they can then give their necklace away as, you know, as an affirmation of that act of kindness and educate the person to do the same. And then go buy another one from the website and continue to spread the movement. The super cool thing about it is that you can then tell your story, tell the story of what act of kindness you saw and, you know, put that online so that other people can see it. And we kind of create this viral, you know, positivity movement. I love it.
Oh, I love about that is nowadays people are so eager to post something negative they found. You know, did you know this person did that? Or
man.
Also the clickbait on Facebook all the time and the horrible stories. We have politics going on. The election's over. We're going to have politics for the next 4 years. No one's going to like it. It's not going to end well. We're going to continue to have a lot of negativity going on. Why don't we be mindful about creating positivity out in the community? I want to say something really quick to all our listeners listening now or on the show on Saturday as we're recording it, or on Saturday listening now. If you're a business owner out there and you have an act of kindness, of mindful kindness, you want to give us a call at 453-9595. Leave a message and tell us your act of kindness. We'll actually give you $200 in free online marketing budget for any act of kindness that you post or leave us on Facebook. I said any, right? We're going to pick one. We're going to pick the top one, a mindful act of kindness, and it can go towards a website. It can go towards business listings, Google profile, anything that you want us to help set up with.
Look at that. The acts of kindness are already working, right? It's already happening. I was telling Denise that we ought to buy some of these necklaces and give them as Christmas gifts, and she said, well, here, I'm just going to give you mine. That's what I'm supposed to do. And then Shelley Bruce jumped in, and she said, wait a second. I've got one. I've got to give you. I know your personal story. And so this is amazing. She gave me one of these necklaces that I can give to my wife. And I know that my wife's going to love this. She's going to promote it as well.
Yeah.
Something else I'll say is that, you know, when it comes to social media and stuff that we can find in the media or online, it's either extremely negative or extremely gregarious in terms of the positivity. Like,
right.
Everybody on Facebook can't be happy and having an amazing time all of the time, right? And so I think that these are genuine experiences of people who actually went out to look for something good in another human being, affirm that, promote that, you know, gift it with positivity and get them to do it some more. That's what we're always looking for, right? The child that behaves right. In a certain way, whether it's positive or negative, it's because they're getting some kind of attention or reaction from it. If we gave more positive attention for more positive behavior, I'm sure that, you know, at least my life is going to improve because I'm focusing on the positive, right?
One person at a time. Great stuff.
Yep. Okay, cool. So we'll talk about the other two businesses in our wrap-up.
Winter's Icy Grip, Tar Heel Power Grab. I'm Michael Toscano.